afternoon, one and all. Our message series is called Lord, Make My Life Count. And we have been looking at various areas of life that we want to make it count. You only get one life, so you want to make sure that you make it count. So far we have looked at work, rest, and faith. Today we have come to the subject of money. How do you make your money count? We will be looking at various scriptures, especially reading from Luke chapter 16 verses 10 to 15. So that is our question this afternoon. How do you make your money count? Not how do you count your money. I think everyone knows how to count their money, but how do you make your money count? We all make money in this life, but what do you do with your money once you make it? Makes huge difference in your life and in the life of others. Money is a tool for someone. For some, a resource. For some, for others, an idol. For many, money can bring either a blessing or a curse. Money is neutral itself, but how you view it will determine how you handle it. And how you handle it will make all the difference in your life. How do you make your money count? The world has different theories about that. Some say, whoever makes the money, most money, is the one who makes their money count. Others say, whoever saves the most money is the one who makes their money count. Still others say, whoever spends the most money is the one who makes their money count. And still others say, whoever gives the most money is the one who makes their money count. So what does God say about money and how we should spend our money? So today we will look at three vitally important principles from the Bible that will help you in this whole matter of making your money count. If you want to make your money count, you must understand and apply the following three biblical principles. First, the principle of ownership. Second, the principle of stewardship. And third, the principle of generosity. So let us begin with the first principle, the principle of ownership. There are two parts to the principle of ownership. And the first part is this. Firstly, God owns it all. Look at Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2. It says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Yes, there is not a single thing that you own in this life that does not belong to God. God owns the title, free and clear, to planet Earth and everything in it. God owns every mountain, every ocean, every island, every stream, every sea, and all of the land. Every acre of every continent belongs to Him. The whole Earth belongs to God. Why? Because the psalmist says, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. He is the creator. And therefore the whole earth belongs to him. it is pretty easy to settle the dispute between a group of children with regard to whose the toys belonged to. One child says, "I found it first. It belongs to me." The other child says, "No, I was playing with it just now, so it belongs to me." And then the third child comes along and say, "I made the toy." So you know which child you should return the toy to, who is the real owner of the toy is, the one who made it, okay? But God doesn't just own the planet itself. He also owns everything in the planet. That means God owns all the resources we have that come out of the ground or the sea. And God does not just own the material things that are in the earth. Psalm 24 verse 1 also says, "The world and they that dwelt therein." God owns all life on the planet earth as well. All the animals on the land and in the sea and in the sky belong to him. And yes, all the people who live in the earth belong to him as well. Psalm 24 is a title deed without any restriction. This planet, this world, this universe is all God's. He made it. He owns it. It is that simple. And because everything you have comes from the earth, everything you have belongs to God too. Therefore, listen carefully, God owns your house, your car, your clothing, your collection of shoes, your electronics, and your art. And yes, he owns your money and your gold too. Whoever who owns lots of gold, your gold belongs to God too. God owns it all. Everything comes from God, and therefore everything belongs to God. That is the first part of the principle of ownership. God owns it all. But now, here is the second part of the first principle. That is, God has entrusted you with his wealth. God has entrusted you with his wealth. Look at what Jesus says in Luke chapter 16, verse 10 to 12. It says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If, therefore, ye have not been faithful in the righteous mammon, who will commit to you? Trust the true riches. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" Wow. Have you ever thought of your possessions that way? God owns it all, and therefore everything you have is on loan from God. Whatever you have, whatever you own, really belongs to God, and he has entrusted all these things into your hand. And this especially applies to your money. Because what you do with your money will determine whether you have done a good job managing God's wealth or not. So how do you make your money count? You begin with the principle of ownership. God owns it all, and he has entrusted you with this wealth. That leads to our second principle, the principle of ownership. Now, if God owns it all, which he does, and if what you have is a trust from God, then you have a responsibility to fulfill. It is one thing to manage your own money, but it's another thing to manage someone else's money. So what does God tell you about being good steward of the money He has entrusted into your care? I would like to suggest three ways we may be a good steward of God's money. Number one, with regard to being a good steward, first of all, number one, you need to spend carefully. That's the number one principle. You need to spend the money carefully. Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 12, verse 15, He says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Do you catch that? Watch out. Be on your guard. Don't be tricked into thinking that the more stuff you have, the happier you will be. Not necessarily. This runs counter to everything the world tells you about your money. We live in a spending culture. We think money is for spending. Malcolm Forbes, the man who published Forbes magazine, some of you know Forbes magazine, is remembered as the man who coined this phrase. And he said, "He who dies with the most toys wins." Right? He who dies with the most toys wins. Now, he's not just talking about children, right? Adults have their own toys and collections of cars, you know, and branded watches and so on and so forth. This was the wisdom of Malcolm Forbes. In fact, that was his ambition. That's why he collected scores of very expensive motorcycles. That's why he would pay over $1 million for a Faberge egg. Okay, I don't know even Faberge egg is. That's why he owned castles, hot air balloons, and countless other toys that he can no longer access. But Jesus put it into all perspective. He said, "Your life does not consist of in the abundance of your possession. Take it all away, and you will find out who you really are." Some people get into trouble with spending because they think more stuff will make them feel more fulfilled. But it doesn't work that way. You are made in God's image. You are far too valuable to be fulfilled with stuff and things of this world. We live in unusual and challenging times due to COVID-19 or coronavirus crisis. We're now forced into a situation where we need to think carefully on what we spent and how we spend our money. I pray that this would give people around the world sometime to think about whom they really are. To contemplate that the abundance of the materials would not necessarily make them happy. But Jesus put it all into perspective. Our life does not consist in the abundance of possession. Okay? Dear friends, we were made in the image of God, therefore, only God can fulfill your life. Nothing else can. Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 8 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You are managing someone else's money, so you need to be careful how you spend the money, especially during this time of crisis. That's the first principle. First part of the second principle. Secondly, save wisely. Save wisely. With regard to being a good steward, we see that first of all, we need to spend wisely, and secondly, we need to also save wisely. Now, according to 2019 survey, last year's survey, countries with the highest saving rates tend to also have lower than average GDP per capita. And these countries are the countries with the highest saving rates, right? And number one is Singapore, followed by China and Nepal, I'm surprised. And Philippines, South Korea, not North Korea, perhaps I have nothing to save, but South Korea and Switzerland, all right? So these are the top countries that people saved most, right? And according to the report of Australian national average for cash saving in our country in 2020, this year is $28,602 per person. Not too bad. But you may think that it's a bit low. If you think that it's too low, wait till I tell you how much the average American has in their savings account. $8,863 per person. All right. So I think Australians are better at savings than, for example, Americans. And I also think that if you have savings of more than $28,600, you are doing pretty well in savings. Now, we are in uncertain times, as I said many times. In fact, we are in the midst of economic crisis, which I have never seen since the Great Depression during the 1930s. And I doubt none of us were born in the 1930s. So we better manage our finances wisely. You may remember the story of Joseph from the book of Genesis in the Bible. Joseph was living in Egypt at that time, and God gave Pharaoh some disturbing dreams about fat and skinny cows and fat and skinny stalks of grains. Joseph interpreted the dreams to Pharaoh, informing him that God was foretelling him, right? About the 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. We all know that story very well. And then Joseph gave Pharaoh the following advice. Genesis chapter 41, verses 35 and 36. And Joseph advised Pharaoh, "Let them gather all the food of those good years that come and laid up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine." In other words, Joseph knew that famine was coming, and so he wisely recommended a savings plan to prepare for the troubled times ahead. Very good job, Joseph. Now, do you want to be a good steward of God's money? Well, firstly, spend carefully. Secondly, save wisely. And thirdly, keep out of debt. Keep out of debt. Proverbs 22, verse 7 says, "The rich ruleth over the poor." I think the rich here refers to the banks nowadays. All right. "And the borrowers is servant to the lender." Again, according to a survey, the nations has the nation that has the highest debt to GDP ratio are, well, surprise, surprise, Japan and Greece, which went bankrupt a few years ago, and Portugal, Italy, you know, Italy's in trouble nowadays, and Bhutan, Cyprus, Belgium, and of course, would expect USA on the top 10, all right? And as of 6th of March 2020, this is our news, okay? This is regarding to Australia. The gross Australian government debt was $573.1 billion, which ranked number 13 in the world, right? We are not in a very good shape, okay? Ranked 13 in the world. And the government has just announced to raise its debt ceiling, right, in order to combat the coronavirus crisis. The government's going to give out cash to the citizens, you know, and the debt ceiling is on how much the Australian government or any government could borrow from the central bank. Then I understand, of course, that our government need to do something to help the Australian people during economic crisis like this one that we are facing. But generally speaking, and I quote from a philosopher saying, right, he said, when your outgo or outgoing expenses exceeds your income, your upkeep becomes your downfall, or downfall of a government or family. Now, in the old days, your outgo was limited by your income. If you didn't have, then you had to do without it. But with credit cards, everybody has a credit card nowadays, and easy debt today, you can easily let go, let your outgo or outgoing expenses to exceed your income, and it will become your downfall, right? So don't let that ever happen to you. Do you want to know the citizens of countries which with most credit card debt? All right, number one, USA with $5,331, all right, closely followed by Canada and UK and Japan, surprise, surprise, and then Germany, all right? Now, debt is a slavery. Don't say to yourself, you know, if I pay cash, I can only buy one stuff. If I pay with credit cards, I can buy 10 stuff, 10 things. But end up paying all the interest rates, and in the end, you get bankrupt. And that's no good, okay? So debt is a slavery, and God wants you to be free. God owns it all, and we are just stewards. And debt is poor stewardship God's money. Now I understand that there are times when you will need to borrow money, right? So I'm not against no borrowing money at all. For example, to purchase a home or to start a business. But those are really examples of investments rather than debt. You're investing in something that has value. Hopefully you are. However, I think you should still be careful in how you invest and make sure that you can handle the repayments that go along with investments, right? So don't go and borrow, you know, a few million dollars to invest in something and end up paying thousands of dollars every month, right? So apply yourself diligently, wisdom, to paying down your debt so you can be free to serve God with your money once again. So how do you make your money count? Understand and apply the biblical principle of ownership. God owns it all. Number two, understand and apply the biblical principle of stewardship. We are God's stewards. And then thirdly, understand and apply the biblical principle of generosity. Generosity. There are three things to cover here. Firstly, God loves a generous heart. God loves a generous heart. Proverbs 11:25 says, the liberal soul, that means a person who is, you know, good at giving, shall be made fat. She shall be blessed, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. God is a generous God, and he expects us to be generous too. In fact, he encourages us to be generous by promising rewards for those who are generous with their money. We read about the law of the harvest in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. The law of the harvest. I read, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Any farmer knows, I've never been a farmer, if you have, you know, if you sow seed sparingly, you will reap a small harvest. But those farmers who sow generously will reap a rich harvest. Now, this is not like the prosperity preachers or the gospel here on TV. So I'm not saying that if you give all your money away, and God will make you even richer. It does not work that way. What I'm trying to say is, you cannot outgive God. This is what I'm trying to say. God will reward you in one way or another, if not in this life, then certainly in the next life. God loves a generous heart, of course. One cannot give with the expectation that he will receive more back from God. So I give money and I expect to receive more back from God. I believe the ultimate blessing of giving is this: joy or happiness. Why do I say that? Well, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And the word bless means happiness. Right? Blessing means happiness, joy. When you give, you're happy. There are three parts of this principle of generosity. Firstly, we mentioned God loves a generous heart. Secondly, money is a tool for blessing others. Again, the same verse, Acts chapter 20, verse 35. By this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Help the weak! Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I believe helping others means helping others by giving, according to the context. But money, of course, but giving is not limited to just money. It can help the weak by extending your helping hands to someone who needs it. Fixing something for the person who needed help, or simply giving advice to someone who needed them. Right? Of course, if you have the ability to give money, to the weak, you're welcome to do so. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 28 also says, he who must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. This is the whole reason for a careful stewardship of God's funds. We work hard and earn money for a reason, so that we can help other people. Remember, your life does not consist in how much you have. Rather, your life consists in how much you love and serve God and other people. So there are three parts to the principle of generosity. Firstly, God loves a generous heart. Secondly, money is a tool for blessing others. And lastly, but not the least, store up your treasure in heaven and not on earth. Matthew chapter 6 verse 19 to 20 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now this passage tells us two things. Whatever you keep for yourself, you leave behind when you die. Right? Secondly, whatever you give for God's kingdom, you send on ahead for eternity before you die. Okay? So first principle is, whatever you keep for yourself, you leave behind when you die. But whatever you give for God's kingdom, for God's people, you send on ahead for eternity. Proverbs 19:17 also says, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord." Have you ever thought about that before? He who is kind to the poor lends it to the Lord. And the verse also says, he will reward him for what he has done. Who is the he? God will reward him for what he has done. So now let me pull this all together for you so you can see how amazing that is. We look at first principle. God owns it all. God owns everything. Every mountain, every sea, every land, and all your money, and all your gold, and all your collection. And then he entrusted it into your care. We are mere God's stewards. He has entrusted his wealth to you. And then thirdly, then, when you lend God's money back to him by helping others, he rewards you for what he has done. Isn't that amazing? Isn't God amazing? That is the principle of generosity in action. By the way, if you are a Christian and rich, don't feel guilty about making a lot of money and being rich. You should, however, feel guilty about not giving to the Lord and helping others if you are rich. John Wesley once preached a three-part sermon on money that went like this. He said, "Earn as much as you can." Christians, I also urge you the same. Earn as much as you can, but also save as much as you can. This is important. And lastly, give as much as you can. So earn as much as you can, save as much as you can, and give as much as you can. So how to make your money count? I'll leave with you three principles this afternoon. Earn as much as you can lawfully and within God's purpose and calling for your life. And secondly, save as much as you can by spending carefully and investing wisely. And thirdly, give as much as you can to God's work and to help those in need. Help the poor and help the weak. Follow those three principles and I guarantee you that you will make your money count both now and for eternity to come. Let us pray.